Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GRP Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all the participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Gandhi, Managing Director of GRP Limited, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, and a very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the GRP Limited's Q1 FY2025 earnings conference call. Along with me today, I have our company's CFO, Shilpa Mehta, and SGA, our investor relations advisors, on the call. We have uploaded our investor presentation on the stock exchanges and on the website, and I hope each of you have had the opportunity to go through the same. The past few months have been particularly an exciting period for all of us at GRP. As we celebrated 50 years, we are looking at this as an opportunity to look ahead and look ahead to the strategic opportunities and promising prospects that await our company in the years to come. In light of the recent industry developments, we are actively exploring various potential adjacencies to capitalize on our existing strengths. These developments are based on brand owner interest, government interest, as well as the consumer push. We're pleased to announce that the board has approved several of our CapEx plans, and details of which I shall share during the course of the call. However, before getting into it, I'd like to provide an overview of the quarter and an update on the key focus areas outlined in the previous calls, along with the progress that has been made on each of those fronts. As you've seen from the financial statements, our performance on an operational basis for the quarter ending June 2024 was reasonably robust. Our revenues rose from 999 million INR to 1.267 billion INR, reflecting a growth of about 27% compared to the same quarter last year. Our EBITDA for the quarter saw a significant improvement, increasing to 132 million, an 88% rise compared to the same period last year, and our PAT for the quarter marked a growth of about 122%. Let me take you through what's happening in the industry around us, and then as a result of it, what are the changes that are taking place in the company. Starting with the retail and rubber business, I'd like to highlight that the global tire market has experienced a 3% growth in the passenger car and light truck segments during the half year of calendar year 2024, while demand in the truck tire segment, excluding China, grew by about 2%, with most of the downturn coming through in the European market. Despite slowdowns in export markets on the whole, we have achieved as GRP a 13% year-on-year growth in our export volume of reclaimed rubber. This growth could have been even higher had it not been for constraints arising from the Red Sea crisis and the resultant unstable container availability. On the domestic front, rubber consumption has increased by about 5% in Q4 of FY24, which is the last reported numbers, but that same momentum continued in the Q1 of FY25, allowing our reclaimed rubber segment to post a 43% year-on-year growth, driven by higher volumes and EPR income. Overall, our reclaimed rubber revenues grew by about 24% year-over-year, to 111.2 crore or 1.112 billion rupees, accounting for 91% of our total standalone revenue. Year over year, virgin natural rubber prices have risen due to a demand supply imbalance, while synthetic rubber prices also remain elevated, driven by high crude oil prices and shipping costs resulting from the political tensions in the Middle East. Amidst these challenges, our realizations have marginally declined by about 2 to 2.5% due to the reduced share of exports, and that in turn has been caused by the prolonged crisis in the Red Sea. We are also seeing that there is a marginal increase in freight costs, and all of which we are unable to pass through to our customers, and that has also resulted in a partial reduction in the margin on the export business of the reclaimed rubber. However, I must admit, demand remains fairly robust. We are sweating our assets and capacity utilizations remain much higher than before. And we are confident on maintaining a healthy double-digit EBITDA margin supported by the savings in energy costs that have been planned and also the addition of the EPR income. In our efforts to transition to a renewable energy sources to get to about 50% of our stated target, our energy cost savings through a combination of windmills, biofuels, etc. have amounted to about 1.65 crores or 16.5 million rupees in the current quarter. The biofuel system, which became fully operational towards the end of Q1, is expected to generate additional savings over the next quarters, in addition to the reduction in the CO2 emissions going forward. As our customers focus increasingly on reducing their emissions from scope 1, 2, and 3, our energy substitution towards renewable sources will go a long way in establishing our credibility in the industry. We recorded an EPR income of about 6 crores during the quarter, reflecting our proactive engagement in this regulation. The CPCB is in the process of finalizing the mechanism to set up the environment compensation, and as a result, the price range of the EPR units or EPR credits will get finalized, hopefully in the current month. And that will allow us to give to be able to predict better the potential revenues on account of the EPR income, EPR credit sale. As announced earlier, our new technology based on lower CO2 emissions and improved product quality are under evaluation with several customers. And we expect the added capacity to be formally commercialized in the current quarter and expect commercial volumes to begin from Q3 of this year and achieve close to 50% utilization towards the end of the year. The company has consistently maintained the working capital cycle of 75 days, and we continue to, in light of all the challenges in the non-tire sector and even some of the other markets around the world, we continue to maintain and ensure that the same cash flow discipline continues in the organization. As far as the non-reclaimed businesses are concerned, we have been diligently focusing on this segment, achieving significant market traction. This focus, combined with the low base from the previous year following a fire incident, has led to a 25% year-on-year growth in the overall revenues, which now represent 9% of our standalone revenues. This, however, does not include revenues from our subsidiary company, GRP Circular Solutions Limited, which produces the repurposed polyolefins. Our volumes in the non-reclaimed rubber segment have increased in line with the auto industry growth, and that has been about 10%. But as far as the engineering plastics is concerned, there has been a significant addition of business using alternate raw material sources such as textile and fishnet waste. And I spoke about the possibility of using the ocean plastics for our advantage. Happy to say that we have been able to commence sales from that sector. However, since these are bought out materials and raw materials, our margins from these type of engineering plastics will be lower than the margins from the core raw material, which comes from the tire recycling facility. The non-reclaimed rubber segment is showing promising potential and delivering healthy margins. As this business continues to scale, we anticipate further improvements in the EBITDA margin due to economies of scale. As guided in our previous earning call, GRP is making significant strides in response to the emerging clarity in the EPR regulation and the resultant incentives for the various tire recycling technologies. As a result, we have acquired land adjoining our existing facility in Solapur to set up a crumb rubber plant and venture into downstream recycling over the coming years. This downstream activities will focus on manufacturing of crumb rubber as well as possible areas along the lines of energy through the use of pyrolysis and recovered carbon black. The board, to support the above initiative, has announced and approved a capital expenditure of up to 250 crores. This investment will be executed in two phases over a period of the next 3 years, of which 150 crores will be deployed until December 2025 and the remaining amount to be utilized thereafter based on the success of the first phase of the projects. As I indicated before, the focus areas of the CapEx will be on deployment of new technology to produce reclaimed rubber with lower CO2 emissions, expansion of capabilities in crumb rubber and other categories identified under tire EPR, and also the expansion of the plastic recycling business. The total funding requirement for these projects as of now, we believe, will be met through a combination of internal accruals and debt. As we deem appropriate as far as the debt is concerned. The planned expansion for these projects will be carried out at the current sites of the company. We have sites in Solapur and Dahej, and these would be the likely locations for the next rounds of expansion. This strategic investment underscores our commitment to the sustainable growth story and also positioning GRP for continued success in the evolving recycling ecosystem. By deploying these new technologies and expanding our capabilities, we are ensuring that we remain at the forefront of innovation and sustainability. With this background and highlights of the operations out of the way, let me hand over the call to Shilpa to take you through the financial highlights for the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me take you through the consolidated financial highlights for Q1 of FY 2025. Total income in Q1 FY 2025 was at rupees 1,267 million as compared to rupees 999 million in Q1 of FY 2024. So there is an improvement of 27% on year-on-year basis. We recorded an EPR income of rupees 6 crore during the quarter. Gross profit for Q1 FY 2025 was rupees 670 million as compared to rupees 520 million in Q1 FY 2024. So there is an increase of 27% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA for Q1 FY 2025 stood at rupees 132 million as compared to rupees 70 million in Q1 of FY 2024, which is an increase of 88% on year-on-year basis. This was driven by the gain from EPR and a reduction in energy cost. EBITDA margins for Q1 FY 2025 is at 10.46% as compared to 7.05% of the Q1 of FY 2024. There is an increase of 341 basis points on year-on-year basis. PAT for Q1 FY 2025 is rupees 44 million as compared to rupees 20 million in Q1 of FY 2024. With this, I now open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Divya Agarwal from Ficom Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So my first question is on the crumb rubber capacity that we are setting up. So I mean, micronized rubber product, MRP, is another downstream product of crumb rubber. So I just wanted to know your thoughts on that, and maybe do we have any plans of further going down to producing MRP?
Thank you for the question. MRP is one form or type of crumb rubber. As part of our expansion into crumb rubber, we will look at different sizes. Micronized is essentially defined as a certain size of crumb rubber. So yes, as part of the entire investment in crumb rubber, we will be looking at different sizes of materials to offer to different end applications. As far as the total capacity is concerned, in phase one, the total capacity of crumb rubber that we will set up will be to the extent of about 40,000-50,000 tons.
40,000-50,000 in first phase or both the phase including?
This will be the first phase.
Okay. And so my second question is, so pardon my knowledge of limited tire recycling. So I just wanted to know if this MRP could be used along with the reclaimed rubber, or this could be like different thing?
The MRP, so as I mentioned before, MRP is a terminology used for micronized. The micronized is essentially anything that is ground below a certain size. There are various applications for the different sizes of crumb rubber, ranging from tires to non-tire applications to even certain kind of molded other rubber products. So as I said, I mean, depending on the customer preferences and the opportunity, we will invest in different sizes of crumb rubber to be able to grow in.
Okay, I got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question on the new project. So we mentioned, I mean, 250 crore, we mentioned that we are looking to fund it internally or through debt. So just wanted to understand if you could share what is, I mean, how do you measure the maximum amount of debt that we are willing to take? Is it on a debt equity, is it on a debt EBITDA? If you could help us understand, that would be helpful. So I want to also understand, would this debt to EBITDA that you're looking at include the working capital or short-term debt, or it will be only long-term debt?
So I think some of this fine-combing of the debt equity and some of these final numbers are still in the works, and hopefully you'll be able to provide clarity on this in the subsequent call. But as of today, we have reasonable confidence on the company's ability to generate internal cash supported by margin improvement, volume growth, as well as the EPR income. And that allows us to be able to leverage to the extent that the balance sheet can handle. As I mentioned, therefore, that the first phase of investment would be about 150 crores. We also have approval of the shareholders to raise rights issue of up to 40 crores. So if you look at a combination of the rights issue that is approved by the shareholders, debt and internal accruals, the first phase of the investment will be funded through a combination of these three sources. As far as the second phase is concerned, hopefully by the time the investment in the first stage starts to accrue additional cash flow, we will take a call at that stage appropriately about the level of infusion of debt or any other means as may be required. And your second question was, what is the comfortable debt to EBITDA or debt to equity ratio? I mean, as an organization on a long term, from a debt EBITDA perspective, currently our debt EBITDA is trending at closer to about 1.6 or thereabouts, and a debt equity on a total, including the short term debt, is at about 0.7%. So we're fairly confident that given the predictability of the cash flows and the current both nature of debt equity as well as debt EBITDA, we believe that we have the ability to raise additional debt. I hope that answers your question.
No, yeah, so that is very helpful. But is there a maximum debt EBITDA? I mean, as on a prudent basis, we don't want to go beyond, is it 2, 3, something like that? Is there some number that can be shared?
I mean, these are obviously conversations that we are having at the board level. I think we are very clear that we will not exceed a debt to EBITDA of more than 2.5. I mean, that is something that we would be fairly comfortable up to that level. Anything beyond that, we may not be comfortable taking on. So,
that was helpful. And one more on this expansion. So, 150 crore till December 2025 on phase one. So I believe the 40 to 50,000 ton capacity expansion that we're planning in the part as part of the first phase is coming by Q3 of this year. So any thoughts on the capex of that particular facility and the ramp up period there?
Yes, so the 150 includes already the capex that is already being spent on the plant too. Produce the crumb rubber by Q3 of this year. So it's this investment is part of that overall 150 crore investment that has been outlaid.
So what I was asking is, I mean, of 150, how much would be used for that? and what would be the ramp-up period? And is this particular expansion for the new rubber technology that you have designed and you're hopefully commercializing by 3Q as well?
No, so the investment made in the new technology of VCM rubber was made already in the previous fiscal year. And as I mentioned, that commissioning is likely to be completed now because of the approvals and the stabilization of the equipment that is going on. So that investment is not part of this. As far as this investment is concerned with the Q3 focus, there, as I said, I mean, it's part of the overall investment. I won't be able to provide you breakup of exactly how much I'm going to spend by Q3 and how much in the subsequent quarters. But so far, all the investments that have been made into the project, including the land acquisition, the part of the civil works, as well as the equipment advances and so on and so forth, have all been met from internal accruals.
Understood. And on EPR, you mentioned in the AGM that it's around 2 to 4 rupees that we got so far for the credit. So I understand the pricing is still will be decided with CPCB over time, but would it be possible to give an indication of how much credits that did we generate on 22 and 23, and how much have we sold already? Is it possible to share that?
I think the number of credits, as I keep saying, is something which still has a possibility of changing. Of course, our FY22-23, most of the credits, a large part of the credits have been sold, and Shilpa has already mentioned what we accrued as revenue from those. As far as the 23-24 is concerned, we have not started selling our credits, given the fact that the CPCB is going to set the floor price in the coming months on the price of the credit. The number of credits is, as I said, continues to remain dynamic because the policy is still undergoing changes. So I maintain the same stand. I won't be able to comment on the number of credits. We'll be in a position to comment on the revenue realized because we are not doing an accrual-based accounting. It will be a realized-based accounting because the prices are volatile. And until there is stability, there is no reason for us to provide any additional information on this.
Thank you. And the last question, VCM rubber specifically, looks like there is, the last few couple of quarters, there's a huge spurt in demand. Is there any particular reason that we're seeing such a spurt in demand? Because I don't see the tire manufacturer seeing that demand, but we are seeing a lot of interest, which is very nice to see.
So, I mean, the additional volume that we are selling is going mostly to the tire industry. So I'm not sure when you say that the tire industry is not talking about the demand. But yes, I mean, we are seeing increased offtake and supply to the tire industry as far as the material is concerned. The other reason for the likely spurt in the demand is also could be attributed to the high prices of natural rubber and synthetic rubber. Over the last few quarters, there has been an increasing trend as far as both these polymers are concerned. This has generally been a trend that when prices do go up, additional targets are taken by tire and non-tire manufacturers, specifically the non-tire manufacturers, to offset their costs. And we are possibly seeing the demand spurt on account of this as well. So it's a combination of, A, the effort that the tire company is taking in incorporating more sustainable materials in their formulations, and B, the short-term spurt in the price of the virgin rubber that is leading to additional demand.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll get back into this.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, I would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one on your phone to come in the question queue. The next question will be from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon, Harsh. So, Harsh, very encouraging to see the kind of aggression that we as a company are now taking. So I have a few questions. So first up, in this quarter and even in the last quarter, if I were to remove the EPR business and just look at the base business profitability, it seems that there has been a reduction in the margins. And this is despite we getting good volume. So if you can just maybe talk a bit about that. We were seeing good recovery in the first two quarters of FY24. But last two quarters, we've seen this one in the Q4. If you exclude the EPR income, if you can just share a bit on that.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I think I indicated that there's been a reduction of 2 to 2.5% in the realization rates because of the freight component on the exports. But look, exports continue to be a higher realization market. But because of our inability to supply to a lot of the markets, there has been a reduction in the export volume. So, I mean, at a company level, we were trending at always greater than 50-55% of exports, which is kind of now moving a little lower on account of some of these headwinds on the export front. That has resulted in overall margin reduction as far as the reclaimed rubber business is concerned. As far as the non-reclaimed rubber is concerned, as I indicated, that our volume growth is also coming through on account of the bought out sources of raw materials, which include ocean plastic and textile waste. And as a result of that, there's some sort of normalization of margins that is happening even in that business. So combination of this, yes, operationally there has been a little dip. I believe it's going to be a little temporary because freight rates, I mean, if they do normalize to the levels that we've seen in the previous quarter, then the margin accretion will be much better. However, in the subsequent quarters, as I said, the impact on account of energy savings is going to be fairly significant. We've already started to see that benefit come through on account of wind and on account of biofuels. So those will start actually adding to the bottom line going forward.
Okay, got it. In terms of cost, were there any one-offs this quarter or not so much?
There were certain one-offs on account of employee costs. I mean, there have been, as part of the company completing 50 years, there were one-time costs in rewarding several employees across the organization, and costs associated with that were partly one-off.
Would it be possible to quantify it broadly, just to get a sense?
Shilpa, would you want to quickly give a broad sense of that number? But yeah, I mean, if I recall correctly, it's about 1.2 to 1.3 crores.
Got it. Okay. The other question that I have was in terms of this EPR now. So you said broadly FY23 is done. Broadly, you may still have some bit. Now, this year, we sell for FY24 and FY25 as well. Is that understanding
correct?
Yes.
Correct.
So probably every quarter we will have some income from EPR, right?
That's fair to assume, yes.
Got it. And in terms of this CapEx, now for this 150 crore that you're doing, let's say in the next 18 months, would you need any debt or this would be more back-ended for the next phase? How are you thinking about
it? No, we would need, as I said, I mean, there is the internal accruals, there is the approval of the rights issue of up to 40 crores, and then the remaining will be debt. It could be, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it should probably, I mean, we're using that as last resort in the sense that we'll probably secure the facility, but avail for it only as we see deem fit. I mean, as we deem fit.
Right. So you have mentioned three uses for the, I mean, three projects for this CapEx. So one is the plastic recycling business, the other is the crumb buffer, and then there is new technology, which you, so this is different from what you already have, or, I mean, because you mentioned we have already commercialized and now it's stabilized the new technology to produce reclaimed rubber. I'm assuming that that could be under approval process, etc.
Correct.
So, this new project that you're talking about, this is similar, I mean, expanding the same thing, or is it different?
No, so I mean, it will be crumb rubber and downstream offshoots from crumb rubber. As has been indicated, that, you know, anything to do with EPR, there are multiple dimensions and multiple categories that have been approved under EPR. And so, therefore, as part of that, crumb rubber is a basic necessity to launch into any of these other downstream products. And that's why we've taken the first step of investing in the crumb rubber facility, and then subsequent downstream are likely to get invested in as well. So, I mean, one of the things that I did mention is possibly looking at carbon black or recovered carbon black as a category. because of the close synergy it offers with the tire companies and availability of a lot of char is there, because there are a lot of pyrolysis players in the country. So there are several such opportunities we are evaluating and testing technologies before we take a final plunge in the same. As far as the reclaimed rubber new technologies are concerned, as I mentioned, we have commercialized or will be commercializing it in Q2. Hopefully some of the approvals will come through by end of the year, and that will necessitate addition of capacity in that space. Reason being very simply, majority of the tire companies will approve technologies when they know that there is material security, and for that we will need to demonstrate setting up additional lines as well. As far as the plastic recycling is concerned, since the regulation on the PWM or the plastic waste management is going to come through by April 2025, and since we are starting to approach a fair bit of utilization of capacity, we're fairly confident that possibly another round of expansion might be required, hopefully in the second to the third quarter of next calendar year. So some of these put together, we have calibrated the total volume and put it out for the benefit of the shareholders to know.
Sure. So I mean, in all this, so let's just talk about Crumb Rubber right now. So how fast will the ramp up be, or how quick will you be able to start commercializing this?
These are not products that require long lead time for approval, Crumb Rubber in itself. Of course, if we start targeting the tire companies from day one, it will take a long lead time. But some of the other non-tire applications are much shorter lead times. So we are hoping to commercialize in Q3 of this fiscal, and the ramp up should be quick. I mean, I can't put a number at this stage, but yes, our expectation is that we reach a reasonable amount of utilization in a very short span of time.
So, Arun, just one last question, Harsh, before I join back in with you. Any rough pointers in terms of how do you look at, let's say, asset turns or economics on this 150 crore kind of capex? I mean, how are you looking at it? Anything that you can share?
Our current reclaim business, as you are aware already, you know, it is a low asset turn business. Some of the newer businesses we've invested in, which is the EP as well as the plastic, those are relatively higher asset turn businesses. With Crumb Rubber, again, it's from an asset turns perspective, would be, a little better than or the lower than, closer to the reclaim, if I may, but lower therefore than the plastic businesses. However, if you look at the new technologies like RCB, etc., I mean, there's the much higher asset turns. It could be closer to 4, 4.5, or even 5 times asset turn, or fixed asset turns. So, I mean, the overall 150 is expected to generate an overall asset turn of between, I would say, 2.5 to 3 at the minimum, on a full or an annualized basis at the minimum.
Got it. Thank you, Harsh. I mean, this is very helpful. I mean, just to put it in context, our market cap was what, probably lower than what the capex that you were doing. So this was very heartening to see the kind of aggression. So all the very best to you and your team. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dikshi Jain from Invest PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking the question. I think part of the question was asked earlier on the EPR credits. Again, if we look at the QOQ year-on-year quarter versus quarter results, so clearly Q1 24 did not have EPR credits and Q1 25 does. Now, if we just look at that piece, we see a dip of PBT is actually dipped if we take the 6 crores out. Now, I heard that there is a cost because of freight, etc., which has come in. But going forward, how do you see your core business way. And the other is, while I agree that the rest of the EPRs will come in later, what was the range of the price that was realized in this quarter for the EPRs?
The price for the realized for the EPR in Q1 was the same as what was realized in Q4 of last year. So there's no change in the price. We remain committed to be wanting to and desirous of setting our EPR at a fair price, which we believe is reasonable for the industry. If the brand owners want to support the recycling industry, it's important that there is a certain level of price that is paid, because that is the only thing that will help the recycling sector in the long run. So that's the first part of your question. As far as the earlier question on the margins are concerned.
Excuse me, if I can. In the AGM, see, last quarter, the range which was specified was around 2 to 3 rupees.
2 to 4.
Achha, okay. Because in the AGM, it was 2 to 4.5, which was mentioned. Yeah. And earlier for the last quarter, so this quarter also it's been 2 to 4.5 only?
Yes.
Because what we were hearing from the industry was that the floor price is likely to be closer to 4.5 or 5.5 rather than 2. Especially since there seems to be a shortage of credits available from creditable suppliers.
Oh, I think everybody, brand owners have their own set of expectations, recyclers have their set of expectations. I can't comment on, whose expectations are what.
That is the
you, that's why all the more reason that I say that we are unable to provide a future outlook on the EPR, because very clearly we can only, we are trying to maximize the revenue without it becoming a deterrent for the tire industry. Which are our customers. So we have to play that balancing act very well. And therefore, we are reporting numbers based on what we are generating as revenue rather than talking about what the expectations could be. So I maintain this, that we're still generating our prices between this range that has been specified in the previous forums.
Okay, and what about the profitability generally? Like, how do we see that? Let's take EPR.
Yes, as I mentioned, the impact of the freight and the impact of the lower exports has resulted in a lower gross profit margin for the core business. In the previous quarters of the last year, the margins trended closer to about 50 or 52% at the gross margin level, which is currently down to about 45-46%. That is a key contributor, and that is, as I mentioned, because of the reasons that I've already indicated. This is where it is. I mean, the margins are low because of the freight, because of the lower exports.
And do you see that improving in the...
As our utilizations are improving, we are seeing that our overall economy and scale advantage is starting to flow in. As I said, investments that we are making and the operating costs reduction are starting to yield benefits. So yes, we do see changes in the EBITDA level margins likely to come back. As far as the gross margins are concerned, I mean, as I said, that will determine, that's to a great extent determined on what is happening in the export markets, in the international markets as far as oil is concerned, and also as far as ocean freights are concerned. So this is not something that we have as much control over, and only trends that we observe is what we can offer comment on.
Okay. And also there's a large rise in tax. Normally when you have new capacity, etc., you get tax benefits, but we've seen that the taxation has gone, if you look at QOQ there, it's gone up pretty significantly in the last quarter. So, any reason for that, or this tax percentage earlier used to be much lower?
Ilpa, you want to comment on that, please?
Hello?
Yeah, tax was at 40%.
Yeah, so... Period, if you see that deferred tax benefit, it gets converted into current tax liability. So,
Can you repeat that?
Actually, your voice is not very clear. I'm sorry, but if you can actually come closer to the line, or if you're on a speaker, if you can get off the speaker, because we are not able to hear you clearly. And there's a lot of echo when we are speaking.
Okay. What I'm saying is, we see 40%. So can you just repeat what you said? Because we couldn't understand what you said on the tax.
There will be times when there will be deferred tax benefit or asset or deferred tax liability. So it depends on the difference between the IT or income tax depreciation and book depreciation. Over the period, it gets converted into current tax liability. That is one of the reasons. And another one is some of the contingent tax liability got converted into provisions for one of the assessment years, so due to the income tax hearing. So both due to partial reasons, this tax liability, what you are looking at, looks high compared to previous periods.
So it will be around 23-24% going forward, like it has been earlier.
It is over the rate that new tax regime which we are following that will continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Kumar Surya from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, sir, congratulations on the numbers. Sir, my question is on the EPR policy. So, sir, if I look at the EPR tire policy, sir, it doesn't encourage any tire grommers to use recycled material, unlike the plastic recycling, where there are EPR targets to use maybe like 30%, 40% recycled material, whereas in tire, only EPR targets have to be met. And like the tire companies have already set process of making tires with some proportion of using reclaimed rubber. So, sir, how do we see the volume of reclaimed rubber increasing at the industry level? So, like, maybe currently only 3-4% of rubber reclaim is being used. So how can this percentage increase going forward? And sir, because from what I understand is tire companies also consider the EPR as a cost, and it is not encouraging, unlike the EPR policies which have been made for the plastic, where they have to compulsorily use 30%, 40% of recycled material. So just wanted your thoughts on this.
I answered in three pieces. First part, as you talked about, is whether the tire companies are currently at a low usage and what is the outlook there. It's very clear that, you know, since we are all our customers, we are having conversations. The conversations are about helping them use more reclaim in their formulations without compromising on tire performance or tire safety. So within the limits of those two outcomes, we are working closely with them to increase this percentage. And with several tire companies, there are long-term targets and mid-term targets of increasing this percentage of recycled/reclaimed material in the tire formulation. So that's to answer your question on what's the likely future outlook. The second part of the conversation you had was whether the EPR in plastic versus the EPR in tire. Yes, EPR in tire is differently structured than EPR in plastic, because tire has a much more larger impact on lives and safety and performance. Unlike plastic materials in the packaging, where the impact on life by use of materials is not very high. So that's one of the reasons why the government has calibrated and is not enforcing circularity for the brand owners, but are only encouraging circularity by ensuring that the obligation of recycling is met through responsible recycling types or categories. The third question you talked about is whether third comment you made is that the tire companies are considering this as a cost. I'd like to clarify, to be honest, that I don't think tire companies are looking at this as a cost, because they have in turn imposed a increase or a EPR cost on sale of a new tire. So they have already passed on, I believe, a few rupees per kg to the end consumer, which is you and I, on the sale, on the purchase of EPR credit. So to be honest, for the tire company, this is likely to be a pass-through. If they claim that this is a cost, I kind of beg to differ with all due respect. because they are charging the same from the customers as well. So that will be the third part of my answer.
Sir, thank you for the clarification. Sir, my next question is regarding, sir, if you can just help me explain the application difference between reclaimed rubber and crumb rubber and how does they complement each other? And sir, another part on this, sir, are we doing the whole tire reclaim or the butyl or EPDM reclaim? If you can also throw some light on, like, what is accepted in the industry and how they are different grades and what are the realization difference among the same. So that we can. That
I would, to be honest, in the interest of time and for the benefit of the rest of the shareholders and the analysts who are on the call, I would encourage you to go through our corporate presentation where a lot of the details already put up and it's also available on the website. Differences between what is whole tire and butyl reclaim, etc., is also available. And the percentage and the type of materials that we produce is also available. I mean, I'm just doing this in the interest of time, given that there may be several more questions.
Sure, sir. And sir, last question is on recovered carbon black. So, sir, recovered carbon black is made through the pyrolysis process. And sir, will we be doing through continuous process or through the batch process? Because sir, in the country or one of the CPC reports which I was reading, there are around 700 to 800 players in the pyrolysis who are doing pyrolysis, but only few of them make it through the continuous process. So are we going to do via the continuous process? And regarding that, are we going to do any technology tie-up or what kind of technology are we going to use? So just wanted to know about this.
So I want to firstly clarify that, like you've asked the questions on reclaimed rubber, as far as pyrolysis is concerned, it is a process to recover oil, char and gas from a tire. It is only that is not the same as producing RCB or the recovered carbon black. The recovered carbon black is produced through taking the char that is generated from the pyrolysis through a process which is a technology-led process to produce recovered carbon black, because that has to then go back and find use in the tire sector and all the other industries where carbon black is used. So I would only urge you to not mistake pyrolysis as the only process required for carbon black. There's a significant technology required to upgrade char to make recovered carbon black. So that's one part of the question. As far as your second question on what GRP is planning to do, we will ensure that the technology that we deploy will be A, environmentally friendly. It will in all likelihood be a continuous process and will be an environmentally friendly process. That's all I can say at this stage.
And sir, just to add on this, sir, with regards to the carbon black versus the recovered carbon black, sir, how is the acceptability in the industry?
It's a fairly early days as far as the industry is concerned. A lot of work is going on where brand owners are taking the lead on establishing standards for the recovered carbon black. So it's a nascent stage of the industry, and hopefully over the course of the next few years there will be greater clarity and a set of standards which will be then used by the tire companies. And all of us as manufacturers that strive to be in that sector will ensure that the products meet those requirements and specifications as set by the tire companies.
Got it, sir. They're all the very best for the future.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, I would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Midhun JM from MJ Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. My question was, you have mentioned in your presentation as well as in your AR annual report that you are developing a new technology for reclaimed rubber with lower carbon dioxide emissions and so on and so forth. So, is it the reason why your exports have got impacted a little bit because there is some demand from the export market for this new sustainable technology? Can you just throw some color on it, please?
No, the two are absolutely unrelated. the new technology is still in the evaluation and approval, and that's got nothing to do with the drop in exports.
Okay, and can you give some color on what is this new technology? I think may not be just specific, but I think what it is and why are you looking out for this new technology? And
sorry, I can't hear you clearly.
Advantage that will be for us.
Hello, I'm sorry, I'm not unable to hear you clearly.
Oh, just a moment. So I was, is it better now?
Marginally, yes, go ahead.
So I was asking, can you give us some color on what is this new technology? May not be the specifics, but why is it required? What is the competitive advantage that it will give us in terms of the technology?
I didn't get the second part of your question, but I'm assuming it's question on the type of technology. I can only say, as I mentioned in the past as well, this is a technology which will possibly do away with the use of chemicals, and it will be in a process which will be less labor dependent, and therefore a combination of all of this will result in lower CO2 emissions. But that's because there won't be any chemicals, therefore there won't be any emissions in the process. So that's in a nutshell what the process entails. It should also allow us to produce a superior quality or a superior type of reclaimed rubber. And that is what the next expectation is, that therefore it will be help improve the margins overall on the product.
Okay, okay. And my second question is, since we have a bulk of exports on our reclaimed rubber product, is there an opportunity for EPR credits from the companies the companies abroad, because they are also into EPR, may not be in this avatar, but something else, do we have a opportunity there?
Now, the EPR regulation in India states that any tire that is recycled, that is a waste of India and is recycled in India, will be eligible to generate the EPR credit. So yes, GRP will generate EPR credits on volume of reclaimed rubber it sells in the international markets also. So that the two are not correlated. As far as your question on whether we will get any benefit of a like which is equivalent to EPR in an overseas country, answer is no. We have not heard of, and there is no EPR equivalent regulation which will be an advantage for us outside of India.
Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Gandhi for closing comments.
Thank you again, once again, for all the participants to have joined the call, asked the detailed questions. As we continue to say, I mean, we are extremely bullish about the business. We are making these investments with a view on the future, and we encourage questions from your side as well as guidance from you based on your understanding of the sectors and the industry. With that, I'd like to close the call and thank you all again for participating.
Thank you. On behalf of GRP Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.